We'll take just a minute this morning and just want you to notice that these are hard times in our country. I've talked with people this week that have lost their jobs and that are trusting that the Lord's going to take care of them. And I want you to understand that there was a time in David's life. We're going to look at three different men's lives this morning. But I want you to notice some wording in this Psalm 55. You'll notice, if you would, there are three words that they're not here, but you can see them in Scripture. Number one, there's disappointment. Now, disappointment is this. What I want to try to do is I want to encourage you to maintain a joyful spirit in depressing times. That's what I want to encourage you to do today. To maintain a joyful spirit in depressing times. All of us in this room and all of us that are watching are going to face depressing times. All of us are. We're not immune from that. The reason? The old devil is out there. He's trying to ruin us. Now, God takes what the old devil wants to destroy us with and turns it into a blessing, turns us into an opportunity for us to grow. So Satan has one plan, God has another plan. And you'll notice in this passage, it's sort of like David's stock market has fallen. Notice, if you would, verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. When does God hide himself from our supplications? Only one reason: because of sin. In other words, if there's sin between you and I, the Lord, that's the only time he hides himself. Now, we learned that because in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was praying, and it was 21 days before he got his answer to prayer, but God said, I heard it from the first time you prayed it. But Satan prevented the answer from getting there. So we know that God hears and answers prayer immediately. But does the answer get there to us? And many times the Lord allows Satan to hold up the answer. And for whatever reason, God always has a plan. But this week, we're now up to 22 million people have lost their jobs. Do you realize it took 10 years to get 21.8 million jobs built in America? So we're on a real roll. We're in a bull market and things are going well, and the stock market hitting new highs regularly. And so people are making money, and all of us are excited about the future and the prospects financially. There's a lot of issues in our country, but financially it was really humming and doing well. And so that's really what most people are concerned about anyway, is the money. And so all of a sudden the Lord allows in 4 weeks 22 million people to lose their job. And now in 4 weeks it wipes out 10 years of work. That's depressing to a lot of people. You lose your job that you never thought you could lose. There are difficulties everywhere you turn. I don't know about you, but you're praying not to get sick with anything, because you certainly don't want to go to the doctor. And if you do go to the doctor and you're not having a hard time breathing and running a temperature of 102, they're going to send you back home. So it is a very precarious time. So don't break an arm, but don't break a leg. That's the concern, okay? So just stay safe. And the best way to do that is stay in your house and just try to be careful. I heard somebody this week said, I think I broke my toe, but I'm not going to the doctor. They ran into the table leg. You know, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm just going to turn in blue. That's okay. I'll leave it alone. Unless it's sticking straight out, I'm going to leave it alone, okay? So I noticed that these are difficult times. You don't want to go to the doctor if you can help it. And these are difficult times because if you go to your bank, you'll notice you can't get there except by appointment. I just went around and looked around yesterday, and if you want to go to Costco, there's a line that's 12 miles long from Leesburg to Percival to get in. And then once you get in, oh, I made it. Now if you want to buy the cups that are cheaper there, or the plates that are cheaper there, or something else that's cheaper there, now you got a line from Luckett's in to get out. So you can look at it and say, oh. So there are a lot of things that are discouraging. And now I want you to notice three words today as we look in our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to see people. I mean, I want to be around people. I love people, and I'm missing the emptiness of our church, the people that would normally sit there. I miss the Harveys right over here. I miss the Jenkins right here. I miss the Hannahs right over here. I miss, and I go on and on and on. I miss the Nikitas back there, and I'm going to leave people out. I know that, but I just miss seeing people. It's just a disappointment to me. But as a pastor, I have to stop it right there. Now, I want you to understand, disappointments come to all of us. But you're going to notice David was more than disappointed. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. So he's afraid. He's worried. Notice number 2 about that passage. Look at the broad passage, verse 5, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Hebrew word for overwhelming is to cover. So it's like he's just pulled his sheets up over his head. So I just can't deal with it. Anybody ever done that? I remember as a little kid, I can remember hearing something outside my window, and you know, the bushes were, come to find out it was bushes, but they were scraping against the screens. And I thought somebody was trying to get in. And I was terrified, and all I could think to do was take the sheets and pull them up over my head. It's like I just cover myself. Oh, man, I don't want to see it. If they're going to get me, they won't get me if my sheets are covering me. So David said, I'm overwhelmed. Cover myself up. David even took it a step further, which is common for depression. I want to get away. Oh, that I had wings, verse 6, like a dove. For then would I fly away. I just got to get away from the problem. Now I want you to take just a minute. There are steps to depression. Depression is always wrong. Discouragement is always wrong. Disappointment is common. Disappointment comes. Now listen to this. The definition of disappointment is whenever you have an expectation that's unfulfilled. Okay? So you have an expectation. I'm disappointed this morning because there's nobody in the church and we're having to preach live stream. I'm disappointed by that. But I can't change it. And so what am I going to do about it? There's disappointments that come. So what do I do? Well, I can either deal with it as a disappointment at that level and stop all the emotions that get into my heart that cause me to become discouraged. Now, discouragement's always wrong. But everybody in this room, you got to be careful because you'll get discouraged. Now, understand this. When you get discouraged, that always happens whenever you have something that you let get to your heart. You think about it an awful lot. And you begin to think about all the bad things that can happen. Discouragement is simply a result we can get when we get discouraged is we can get sad. I mean, we can just sit at home and be disappointed and discouraged. Woe is me. We can become silent. And so as we get silent, we just sit down and just say, kind of leave me alone, you know, I'm. And everybody knows that we're discouraged. And your best friend, maybe your wife or somebody comes up and says, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I'm okay. When we're really not, you know what's happened? We've let the disappointment get to our emotions. And folks, you can't let that happen. That's what Satan's plan is. Because you know when that happens, it stops you from being able to reach others, and your light begins to have a basket over it. That's what happens when you're disappointed, when you're discouraged. Disappointment to discouragement. And so then there's one other step, and that's depression. Now, when depression happens, we don't want to deal with the problem. Discouragement, we're not sure how to deal with the problem. We'll pray about it, but we won't leave it in the Lord's hands. We'll pick it back up and carry it. So it affects our emotions. Any problem of disappointment. We expected to have the money to pay a bill. We don't. We expected to have to be able to get a new car this year. We expected to be able to buy a new house this year. We expected to be promoted in our job, and all these things didn't come to pass. Our expectations were unfulfilled, and so we're disappointed. Disappointment happens to all of us because Satan brings it. He wants us to go into discouragement. Now, if you think of some people in the Bible that were discouraged, David is. Do you remember in 1 Kings 19, Elijah is discouraged. He's won a great victory. He has brought revival back to Israel. They've said, God is the Lord. And they've destroyed all the Baal worshipers and all the priests and the prophets of Baal. And so there's victory in his country. And one lady, the queen, says, you're going to be dead for sure tomorrow. And he gets it, that's not what he expected. And so that disappointment, he had a choice right there. Well, the Lord's going to take care of this, but it didn't. He said, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't want her to kill me, so I'm going to run. Now, for the man that stood up with thousands of people watching him pray down fire from heaven, that would have been a greater fear of my heart than this woman going to kill me. Because there's a God in heaven that can take care of the woman, but what happens? I'm going to call fire down from heaven. That's never happened. So I'm going to trust God to do this miraculous thing, but I'm not going to trust God to take care of this woman. You realize the Lord could have sent her a heart attack like he did Nabal. She's eliminated. He could have allowed someone that was her enemy, because she had lots of them, to just take her out. Pretty common in their day and age. But instead, he said, oh, she's going to get me. And he became discouraged. And the Bible says he ran for a day, and then he told his servant, he said, look, you just stay here. I'm going to go on. Then he went into depression. He went in by himself, and he walked and walked and walked, and he just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And the way depression happens is, I want you to listen to this. We don't want to deal with the problem. That's number one. When you don't want to deal with the problem, you always have the tendency to get depressed. Number two, what do when we get depressed? How do we get depressed? And when we get depressed, what do? Well, we want out. The sign of depression is you want out. Okay? You want out any way you can. Elijah, he goes over and he sits down. He's up underneath the juniper tree. Now, this is not a juniper tree, okay? This is a palm. But he's underneath the juniper tree, and he sits down there, and he sits down on the juniper tree, and he says, oh, man, woe is me. And so he does the dumbest thing on the face of the earth. He says to God, the God that just brought down fire from heaven 2 days ago because he asked for it. So he gets down and says, Lord, just kill me. How smart is that? I mean, that's like saying, I'm going to ask God to do one more thing for me to just take me out. But that's what this depression can do to us. It can put us in a state where there is no future. Now, every Christian has got a future, no matter what. Now, if you're not saved this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, you can be depressed, and legitimately so. Because the only thing you have to look forward to is a place called hell. And that would be terrifying to me. But you can't pull your sheets up over your head and say, I don't want to go to hell. And not. You need to pull your sheets back down and say, what do I do? And I'll tell you what you do. You come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm sorry for my sin. Would you come into my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die? I don't deserve it, but Lord, I'm asking for you to forgive me and save me. And God says, I'll do it. Forgiven, like he did the thief on the cross. like he did the woman at the well. I mean, like you go down the list, and he just saved people. He'll save you today. And then you have a future. It's just as good as mine. It's just as good as Brother Scott's. But without Jesus Christ, you have no future. Your future is a place called hell. And that should overwhelm you. That should bring you depression to where you say, I got to do something about it. Now, I want you to understand today that depression's always wrong. Discouragement's always wrong. Because it means we took a disappointment and let it get to our soul and didn't deal with it properly. Now, I want you to understand this. You got to recognize discouragement and depression. You got to be able to recognize it. Number one, you have to realize it comes for all of us. But you got to recognize it. How is that? We begin to dwell on the problems and not solutions. We begin to look only at the problem. So now all of a sudden there's discouragement because we're only looking at the problems. We begin to think, you know, what can I do to get out of this problem? And so it sort of begins to consume our thought process. You have to be careful because discouragement, that's one of the signs. You're consumed with the problem. You're not taking it to the Lord and let him take care of the problem. The Lord designed our bodies and our lives to be living a life of joyfulness and a life of bright light that people can see the joy of the Lord in us. But when we get overwhelmed, sheets over our head, when we get discouraged, when we begin to think about how I'm going to solve this, how am I going to solve this? Lord, would you help me? But how am I going to solve it? How am I going to take care of this? We don't leave it in the Lord's hands. All of a sudden, our mind is consumed with all the things about this problem. David was that way. Notice in verse 5, fear and trembling are come upon me. That happens when you're discouraged. I mean, you get fearful. You get afraid. But now the second thing that happens, not only do we begin to dwell on the negative part, I mean, we begin to dwell on this problem, we begin to be negative. All we can see are trouble. We begin to see all the things that could go wrong. And so here, Elijah, he's sitting underneath the juniper tree, and all he can think of is I wonder if she's coming up. Did I hear that? To hear her chariot wheels. I mean, he's sitting there. I guarantee you, he's worried about her coming after him. He knows she's coming. And so he's sitting underneath the juniper tree. He's hoping he's hidden. Pull his head up over his sheet up over his head. I hope I'm covered. But what was that sound? You become negative. You see everything as negative. You feel like everybody's out for you. You trust no one. You're discouraged. You'll notice, then you're stopped cold when you get depression for doing anything for the Lord. Because you can't think clearly. You just want to get away. Now, how many of you have ever had a problem come up and you just said, Lord, just come get me in the rapture. I'd just like to have the rapture. How many of you ever thought about that? Well, I've thought about that, and I've prayed that prayer. Lord, the simple solution was just come get me in the rapture. But that's not God's plan. He's got it planned to come and get us, but it's not to save us out of a problem that we're facing, a job loss or a financial loss. He's not worried about that in the least. He's got a master plan to come and get us and to love us. And to bring us home to be with him forever. So you and I have a bright future, but I want you to notice that if we're not careful, we'll get stopped cold spiritually. When you're discouraged or depressed, no one wants to come and ask you about spiritual questions. You're not pleasant to be around. You're sad. And folks, every one of us, you've got to be careful. Because when you get sad and you get discouraged and you get depressed, it'll send you to drink. It'll send you to pills. It'll send you to a quiet room where you'll begin to get headaches and you'll sometimes get migraines because you're under so much stress. The body's not designed to be depressed. And you know what? You can help no one else. And that's Satan's plan. to get every Christian where you don't shine anymore, where you can't help anybody. I won, Satan says. So he's gotten David to the point where he can help nobody else. He's discouraged. He's now depressed. He says, I want to fly away. Notice what he says in verse 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Oh, if I just had my way about it, I'd just run away and get be done with it. You'll notice that David is depressed. Now, you'll notice that Elijah is depressed. Lord, if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to 1 Kings 19. I want you to notice this passage, 1 Kings 19. Now, I want you to see verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, gods plural. She's not a Christian. And more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. You know, you killed all my prophets. I'm going to make you dead like them tomorrow night. So notice what he says, verse 3. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Okay? This is the same guy that just called down fire from heaven. He's just prayed and stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Why is he running? Why didn't he get on his knees and say, okay, Lord, you know the situation. Would you stop this woman? God would have stopped her dead in her tracks. But he runs. He just saw the problem is too great. He began to get negative and run. So notice what he does. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. So another part of depression is we want to be alone. We don't want to be around a bunch of people. We want to get alone. And so he leaves his servant and he goes and he's all by himself now. Notice verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. So he walks one day into the wilderness all by himself. Boy, he's just asking for depression to be cemented. And folks, today you and I have to be careful. You got to recognize when depression and discouragement has come. And you want to just be by yourself. That's what's going to happen. That's what it is here. And I want you to notice the last thing that you can see depression in your life and discouragement is there's no joy. Joy is so short-lived. You don't want to laugh a lot. And when you do, it's just sort of temporary. It's like you just want to get back to your depressed state. So notice what he says in verse number 4. And he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down up on a juniper tree. You know, it's a sad thing. This juniper tree gets a bad rap. You know, you think it was a juniper tree. I want to stay away from that. In reality, it's just a simple tree, but he went under it to get away from the shade of the sun, to get away from the rays of the sun. And notice what happens. And he said, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Again, like I said, that's perhaps the dumbest prayer in the world from a powerful prophet. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you know, that tells me that God's not listening and going to answer this prayer. You want to know why? There's sin between him and the Lord. What is it? It's depression. Notice, look if you would in verse number 13. Last part of the verse. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you depressed? Why are you alone, Elijah? What are you doing here? You see, Elijah had left the will of God, and so God did not answer his prayer because there's sin between him and there. If it had been in the will of God, God would have probably come and gotten him in the chariot this day. But he didn't. He wanted him to deal with this problem and give God the victory and let the world see the joys of God's power in his life. But he has no joy. He's alone. And folks, today, when you begin to think negatively, when you begin to think solely about a problem, when you begin to want to get alone, when you begin to want to say, I wish I could just fly away, run away, you're depressed. Don't go to pills. Don't go to drink. You know, you'll lash out at people. You'll be angry. You'll be bitter. It'll affect your spirit. Now, when you notice, I want you to remember, number one, realize depression comes for us all. Recognize what depression and discouragement has done to you. Number three, I want you to remember there's a plan that God has to redeem us, to get us out of it. What is God's plan? Well, number one, we must accept his plan. We must accept his plan as from him. God's got a plan for us. We must accept that this is from God. The Lord allowed this woman, Jezebel, to say this, I'm going to kill you tomorrow, but God didn't expect his great prophet to run for his life. So God allows things in our lives, but he expects us to grow from it. He expects us to shine brighter when difficulties come. I want you to notice, number two, I want you to understand this, the plan of God. We must learn to accept the plan of God in our life. It's easier when we accept it from the Lord. Do you understand that there's nothing can happen to you and I except the Lord permits it? Nothing. You're his child. Everything's got to go through Christ. The old devil came up to the Lord about Job and said, look, you know, when the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? You know what he was doing? He was walking around the face of the earth looking for somebody to tempt. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job to tempt? And he says, what's the use? You've blessed him. You put a hedge about him. So God puts a hedge about all of us that Satan cannot bother us. But whenever Satan said, look, well, if you take away his blessings, he will curse you. And God said, no, he won't. So he lets the wall down, and immediately the problems start. But God knew what Job would do. Now, I guarantee you, Job was stronger at the end of it, but that wasn't the purpose of that test of the book of Job. It was to show Satan that there were some children of God that would do right because they loved the Lord. That was the number one purpose. Now, you may say, well, I don't want God to do that to me. Then we're not a very good servant. Because a servant says, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. None of us want to suffer. But the Lord says you're not alone in it. Now look, the plan of God is number one, to accept it as from God. Number two, to learn that his way is best for us. And you might say, well, how can it be best for us? Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to see a real life lesson of why the plan of God is best for us. This is, now keep in mind, we're trying to avoid discouragement and depression. So notice, if you would, in verse number 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundant revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. And what is it? What is this problem? The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So I want you to see the plan of God here is that God would allow Paul to be buffeted by Satan. Buffet is to be punched. It's to be beat up a little bit. Now, do you know what this thorn in the flesh is? I think it's pretty clear in Scripture, although there are some people that would argue with me, but I think it's pretty clear in Scripture it was his eyesight. Because he said, look how large a hand I've written with in one passage. And so he's saying, look, I've written it, but I have to write in a large hand so I can see it. He actually said sometimes, you know, pray for my sight. You know, I struggle with that. And so you'll notice that this thorn in the flesh is his eyesight. So can you imagine being a preacher of the gospel and author of 12 books of Scripture and not being able to see? But you know why the Lord did it? One reason. Notice what he says. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Pride. He's trying to protect Paul being filled with pride. You know what happens then? Unusable. Depression and discouragement can make you unusable, but so can pride make you unusable. God uses disappointments to make all of us stronger so that we can be used more, never to send us to depression or discouragement. God uses it to eliminate and protect us from things, protect us from pride. Hey, God, use me. You know what? I've written 12 books of the scriptures. For generations, people are going to be reading what I wrote. God says, I don't want that from you, Paul. And he said, so I'm going to send you eyesight problems where you can't see, and you'll know that every word you write is from me. It's not from you. And so Paul says, lest I should be lifted up above measure. Now, above measure, there's a certain amount of respect that Paul's going to get because he wrote scripture. Hey, when we get to heaven, I'm going to look for Moses as an author of those first five books. I'm going to look for David. He wrote a bunch of scripture. I'm going to look for the authors of scripture because God used them in a mighty way. I'm going to look for Amos, a herdsman that just got a burden for his people, and God said, I'm going to use you. Amos said, look, I'm just a herdsman. I'm going to look for Nehemiah. He's a cupbearer. But I'm really going to look for Paul. Because when he had the thorn of the flesh hit him, he couldn't see anymore, he didn't get discouraged or depressed. Fanny Crosby didn't either. They stepped up and used that malady to bring glory to God. And that's what God wants for you and I to do. Now, I want you to notice, God's plan is that if we trust him, he will always sustain us. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, back to Psalm 55. And notice, his plan is for you to trust him and he takes care of you. Notice, if you would, verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Sustain, I love the word, is to support you. It's to nourish you. It's to give you what you need in the difficult times. So you and I have to cast our burden. And the word cast, I love, Hebrew word, is to throw it away. It's to totally place it on somebody else. It's like if you have a pack animal and you're going to put your burden on this pack animal, you take it, you put it on the pack animal, you lift it up, you get on the pack animal, and you tie it off, and you're done with it. And you don't carry it again. So he wants you and I to learn to place our burdens upon him where we don't pick it up again. That's cast your burdens upon the Lord. Because he said, I want to strengthen you. I want to remove the pride from your life. I want to bless you. You don't have to go through these difficult days alone. None of us do. We're not facing these times alone. And that's the last thing I want you to remember about the plan of God is you are never alone. The Lord is right here with me. You can't see him, but he's here. He's in this place. I want him to strengthen me. I want him to use me. And I want you to see, notice, if you have your Bible, I want you to see 1 Kings 19. Let's go back to 1 Kings 19, and I want you to see something here. Now, the old devil, when we get discouraged or when we get depressed, we always think we're alone. I've preached and been a part of different funerals even this year where people have killed themselves. I had to go out of town to a friend's whose daughter killed herself. And so I know what happens is they get it where they can't deal with being alone. they dwell on the problems and dwell on the problems, and then they begin to get more discouraged and more discouraged. And they get into depression and they say, I just want to get away. I just want to fly away. And so they get a gun and shoot themselves. So they overdose on pills. I just want to get away. And so Elijah is the same way in the same place. But you and I are never alone. But notice what he says. If you look, if you would, in verse number 14. This is 1 Kings 19:14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left. Feels totally alone. Notice the next part. And they seek my life to take it away. Not only am I alone, they're trying to kill me. You'll notice, look up in verse 10. And he said, in verse number 9, the Lord said again, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. Same statement. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said the same thing to God twice. Even after God revealed himself in verse number 11. Notice what he says. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Verse 12, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. God came to him personally, but he thought he was alone. The Lord never leaves us alone. Hebrews 13:5 said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's no reason on earth to be discouraged or depressed, except we've gotten out of the will of the Lord. Now, folks, all of us are tempted. There's no temptation taking you but such is common to man. Everybody has this temptation. And in this day and age, well, we're all facing it. I mean, you're in your home. Your family's there. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody, and they said, I just want to get out. I just want to go someplace. I'm just tired of looking at my kids. I just want to go someplace. I said, whoa. And they said, that you know, I love the school, and I'm so thankful whenever school time comes, because my kids got to get over there and sit on the computer and do virtual schooling. And wow. And then when it comes back, I want to get away. I want them to get away. Be careful. It's funny. And I understand what they meant. They weren't depressed or suicidal, and they weren't discouraged. But those are the signs we have to watch out for. But God has a plan. And his plan, he wants you to understand. One, accept it from me. Now, there's a purpose. What is God trying to do in your life? Paul said, he's trying to remove pride from my life. I think Elijah, he was trying to show him one last time his might and power. And Elijah failed. Now, I want you to notice the last part is, not only do we remember God, there's a plan that God has, but I want you to rest in God's care for you. How do we do that? How do we learn to rest in God's care? Well, if you have your Bible, notice with me if you would, in Psalm 55. Psalm 55, look with me if you would. Psalm 55, look at verse number 16. As for me, David recognizes the problem. As for me, I'm almost in trouble. Oh my goodness, I've almost messed up. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Do you understand? Listen to this. If you have your Bible, look at Psalm 73, if you would. Turn to Psalm 73. You'll see this is the key for David. As for me, he looked at himself and realized that depression comes for all of us, but he recognized it was facing him. And you and I have to do that. So notice, if you would, Psalm 73, verse number 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was almost in depression. I was in discouragement. You'll notice, if you would, and he had looked out at the wicked and seen all their possessions and all their blessings, and he'd gotten discouraged. But before he slipped into depression, he caught himself, "As for me." Well, in this passage, Psalm 55, he slipped into depression. He pulled his sheets over his head and said, "Oh, I want to get away." All you got to do today is realize, "As for me." Realize depression is, you're close. And I want you to remember, God has a plan. And God's plan is, you're safe. God has a plan, accept it from him. He's got a purpose for it. But not only that, if we trust him, he will strengthen us. He will sustain us. He'll be our support and our encouragement. And we're never alone. Now, how do we rest in him? You take this burden and go to him with it. Psalm 55, 17. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying you pray often enough and long enough till you get God's attention, where you're comfortable in your heart that the Lord is willing to help you with it, and then rest in him. Pray long enough to put it on that donkey and say, "I'm going to put that on my burden on the donkey and let him carry it." Put it on, get to the point where you can say, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, 28 and 30 says, "Cast your burden upon me, for I care for you. And I will strengthen you." Notice, if you would, in verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." How do you do that? By prayer. How do you do that? By getting alone and saying, "Lord, I need you." Now, remember the last thing, verse 22, last phrase, "He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So you know the key to that is, don't get out of the Lord's will and get discouraged or depressed. Stay close to the Lord. Now you might say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I feel a little bit of discouragement. Can I encourage you? If you don't know the Lord as Savior, trust him. That'll solve your future." And do you understand that the last part of God's plan that you've got to remember is your future is bright? Everybody that's a Christian, you've got a home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be discouraged. Let not your heart be all torn up. I've gone to prepare a home for heaven for you. And I'm going to come back and get you one of these days, either by death or the rapture. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you understand? God says, you've got the bright future to look forward to. What are you worried about? Now I want you to notice one thing. I don't know how many times we've forgotten this. You have your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll close with this. Right after, verse 14, Elijah's pled with God to kill him multiple times. God's appeared to him once. He's still depressed and still said, "I'm the only one that's doing what's right." The Lord says in verse 18, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which has not kissed him." There's 7,000 more just like you. And I'm sure Elijah said, "Well, where are they? I don't see them." But that's not the right question. That's not the right answer. But you see what God did? Look at verse 15. The Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou shalt comest," look down at verse 16, middle of the verse, "and anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat," notice this, "shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." You realize what God did? God said, "Okay, you're finished. I'm not going to use you anymore. Okay, go anoint Elisha. That's the next prophet. If you're not going to get out of your depression, go ahead." Now, God was good to him and came to get him in a chariot because he was so prized a servant. But there's no telling what Elisha could have done had he passed this last test. Do you understand that if Elijah can be depressed and discouraged, so can you and I. If David could be discouraged, oh Lord, I don't want to see what's tomorrow. Be careful. Because God can say, okay, Dave Pittman, I want you to sit right over here because I'm done with you. And get the next guy. God is looking for servants. But if we don't want to serve and we just want to live in our pity party and live in our depressed state, then God says, okay, I'll let you. And you'll notice he anointed his next prophet. I wonder what Elijah thought whenever God said, I want you to go anoint Elisha. Oh, well, Lord, okay. It's too late. Today, realize you're never alone. There's always thousands more. God always has a remnant. We are never alone. Not in this life and not in the next life. The Lord's always with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the next time you face disappointment, the next time you face, don't let it go to discouragement. And don't let it certainly go to depression. Because your light doesn't shine and the God is not lifted up. Well, the world cannot see Christ through you. And if we're not careful, God will say, okay, I'll take you on. And he sets us aside. You know, I look at the Apostle Paul. How do we look at him? Man, he died a martyr. I mean, because you know what he said? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He wasn't afraid of death, but Elisha was. Elisha didn't get a chance to finish serving. Paul did. Today, which do we want to be? The Apostle Paul, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. He lived a joyful life, even though he was blind. Today, let you and I live a joyful life, even though our 401k is half. Even though our job is lost. Even though our health is not that good. Let's realize God has a plan. And his plan is perfect. And he will still use us if we stay in his will. Let's bow our forehead to prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. I don't know what disappointment you're facing today. Maybe you're disappointed about your future, or you're even discouraged about your future, and you need to trust Christ. The Lord loves you. He will save you. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're listening today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, there's a reason to be disappointed and discouraged and depressed, because heaven is not your home. I don't know. I would run down the aisle. I would run to my bedroom this morning if I didn't know I was on the way to heaven. Get that settled first. But if you've trusted Christ and you're God's child, remember, the Lord's plan is perfect. The Lord's plan has a purpose. And remember, God says you're never alone. There's never a private moment in your life. The Lord is always there. And you can also remember there are thousands of others that are just like you if we learn to trust the Lord. Today, will you live for Christ in the midst of disappointments? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Help us to draw up close to you. In your name we pray. Amen.